Welcome back to Inside Track. Our first guest today is CD2 Republican candidate for Congress, Brandon Martin. Brandon is a proud U.S. Army veteran. Brandon was an interrogator and intelligence source operator in the U.S. Army. He served in Afghanistan, and during his tour, he gained valuable experience combating terrorism and providing recommendations to neutralize threats against our troops there. As a candidate for Congress, Brandon has put forth his contract with CD2 constituents, which includes pledges to provide the best possible constituent services, never vote to raise taxes, keep a detailed schedule of on-duty activities, vote nay on any bill if not given sufficient time to read, never vote for infringement of Second Amendment, fight diligently to end abortion, place a sunset clause on all unconstitutional departments and programs, work to abolish the 16th and 17th Amendments, end all unconstitutional wars and conflicts and stop nation building around the world, to hold monthly meetings open to the public, to audit the Fed, and to reduce wasteful spending. Welcome to Inside Track, Brandon.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me on, Bruce.
I want to make sure that our listeners had a chance to meet you and you know, without having to go to your website, get kind of the whole blast on Brandon. So you've been doing this, gosh, for probably close to 3 years now, because you ran in 2018. What have you learned about CD2 since you started going through this journey?
Well, we have an amazing district here, and Southern Arizona has a lot of potential. And what I keep hearing from people out there is that folks want the Trump economy roaring again. They want to provide for their families. They love it when America is thriving. They want the border secure. They want to be safe in their homes. And they want someone to protect and defend their individual rights. And President Trump has done a great job of following through on his campaign promises. And he needs a conservative Republican Congress to support him. So I look forward to going there and doing that and looking out for America first.
So let's take a look at some of the issues. When you decided to run for Congress, could you have ever imagined a mess like the Wuhan virus?
Never specifically the Wuhan virus, but I did see the trend that we were heading in. And I saw that the Democrats, they continue to court the progressive left. And I recognized that our country was headed down the wrong path. We have record spending, and we have the left catering to a group of individuals that want to destroy America. And, you know, all it takes is something like the Wuhan virus to set things in motion that damage our economy, that damage the country. So we need more people that are putting America first and following the president's lead.
How does Congress prevent another health disaster like the Wuhan virus from happening again, Brandon?
Well, I don't think that Congress can really prevent some of these issues, but what they can do are support and promote good policy that will help protect the American people. And President Trump was looking out for us when he tried to restrict travel from China and do other things that would have slowed this down and let us control some of what was going on. But we saw that Democrats wanted to close down the economy. They wanted to keep America shut down, and that's the wrong idea. So we need a Congress that is going to promote America and promote the American people, and every job out there is essential. So what we need to do is we need to listen to experts, we need to listen to doctors, and we need to gather information. We need to inform people. And what we should have done from the beginning was look at it and say, okay, here's the situation. We need to warn the elderly and the infirm and tell them that they are at risk because of the Wuhan virus. And we need to keep the economy going because people need their jobs. People need to put food on the table and pay their bills. And we need a Congress that's going to support that and not damage the American people.
The cost of fixing our economy has been horrific. How do we recover the economic cost of the virus to our economy here in America?
Well, first, again, we need America First policies. And about 2 months ago, my campaign released the LEAP Act, the Liberate the American Economy and American Paychecks Act, that would support small businesses and business in the United States by promoting a free market. We need to cut burdensome regulations and unnecessary permitting that's going to get the economy moving again. And we need to put more people to work and cut taxes and put money in their pockets, because right now people are trying to look out for themselves and their families. And we need people to invest in America. So we need to promote the free market economy and get the Trump economy roaring again.
Well, the president certainly has been that champion, you know, just has done unbelievable things in the first 3.5 years of his term. Another issue unknown to you or any of us when you started to run was the death of George Floyd, the violent impact of major cities across America from Black Lives Matter, anti-American mobs killing of innocent victims and our first responders, tearing down monuments and defacing our country's freedom-loving legacy. If you become the party's nominee, someone is bound to ask you what should be done to eliminate what has been referred to as systemic racism. How would you answer that question?
Well, first of all, America is the greatest country in the world. It's the greatest experiment idea to eradicate racism. And we have to stand with our founding principles. And we were created under a belief that everyone is created equal and we have equality under the law. And the president gave a great, great speech in South Dakota.
He did.
And he talked about what it means to be an American and what it means to live in this great country. And I think that there are good people from every walk of life in this country, and we need to band together, and we need to promote the good, because are there bad apples? There are. There are bad actors out there everywhere, but I know the America that I grew up in and the America we have in the future is capable of overcoming this, but we can't let those with an agenda on the left or in the mainstream media divide us. We have to stand together, and we have to promote those principles that we were founded on.
Where were you raised? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in southern Indiana in farm country.
Whereabouts?
Jennings County in southeastern Indiana.
And how long have you been here in Arizona?
Since 2006, and I did a two-year mobilization to Fort Devens with the Army Reserve. So I was in Massachusetts from late 2007 to early 2010. But the rest of the time, from 2006 on, I've been in Arizona.
Anybody who's lived here since 06, you're like a native, okay? I mean, nobody would accuse you of being from someplace else. We become natives here pretty quick. So getting back to this business with the recent violence, is America a racist country?
Not at all. I mean, you have racist individuals out there, but America is the greatest country in the history of the world. And we are that because we take people from every walk of life that want to buy into the American dream and put their best foot forward and do the best for themselves and their family. There's no other place in the world that has seen the prosperity that America has, and it's because we build on our strengths.
You might be asked about your position on removal of some of the historical monuments. How would you reply?
Again, I have to talk about the president's speech. He gave an amazing speech talking about our monuments and our founders and the history of America. And I believe that we have to defend our culture from the progressive left and those that want to tear it down. I mean, you look at the George Soros of the world, or even Representative Omar, who is talking about dismantling America as we know it, and even the former president who wanted to fundamentally transform America. I don't believe that that's the direction we need to head in. I'm very proud and very blessed to live in this country, and I want to do everything I can to support that. So I believe that knowing our history, teaching our children and future generations our history is the best way forward, and I will protect that, and I will support the president in his effort to do so as well.
So the Trump administration has built or is in the process of erecting nearly 300 miles of border protection barrier fencing. What more do you think must be done to protect Arizonans and the homeland in general?
Well, we have to continue to build the wall. There are other measures being put in place. Just last week, the president announced that we were putting autonomous surveillance towers along the border, the international border with Mexico. And by fiscal year 2022, CBP is looking to deploy 200 of those towers. And that will help monitor the traffic coming across. But we have to continue to build the wall. In my professional experience, I know the importance and the value of intelligence, and we have to know our enemy, and we have to have information on these people who are smuggling and trafficking humans and drugs across the border. They have to be held accountable. There are many people out there that are very knowledgeable on these issues, and I attended a great presentation by a journalist named Brandon Darby. He wrote for Breitbart, and he gave an excellent layout of where the cartels operate along the U.S.-Mexico international border, and even where the cartels are operating within the United States. And we need to know what is going on there. So having intelligence on our enemy and continuing to secure the border is what we need to do and protect our communities.
Brandon, you have a career. You have expertise in various areas. What committees would you desire to serve on if elected, and why should you be chosen for any of those committees?
Truthfully, as an incoming freshman, I would be honored to serve on any committee that I'm assigned to and work my best for CD2 and for our nation. But if I had my choice, Armed Services, Intelligence Committees, I want to advocate. We have a great resource here in CD2. We have Fort Huachuca and Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And we need people who are going to advocate for those strongly. They have important missions. We need to keep relevant missions at both the fort and the base. So I would be happy with any committee that I served on and do my best. but armed services and intelligence would definitely have to be up near the top if I had my pick.
Yeah, let me change topics just a little bit. I'm going to ask this question as a CD2 constituent. I'm one of your constituents. I have two sons. One is 40. The other is 36 years old. They both have successful careers. How would you propose to fix Social Security so that you, because you're going to be around a lot longer than I am, and my two sons, actually end up receiving their own Social Security benefits as bargained for when they paid them into the system?
That's a good question. And what we've seen over the last 20 years and more is that Washington has a spending problem. Just recently, we were collecting a record number in taxes, and the federal government is just spending more and more at alarming rates. So first, we need to stop the out-of-control spending in Washington, and that will allow us to address things that are coming up, issues like Social Security. I mean, you hear every election cycle, you hear people talking about, oh, well, the Democrats or the Republicans, they're not going to protect Social Security. You always hear it as this carrot being dangled in front of people around this country. But yet, when the Democrats want to shut down the economy and spend $6 trillion, you don't hear a peep about money that we don't have. The problem is our politicians like to use it as a political carrot and as a wedge issue, and they run on their elections and talking about how they're going to save Social Security, but very few actually put forward the measures it's going to take. So I want to support President Trump and saving Social Security and fixing that system. So that way, those people who have paid into the system have it there for them.
So the other political football that politicians routinely play games with is veterans' benefits. And you're a veteran, so I mean, this obviously applies to you as well. How do we protect the health and welfare for our veterans who've bravely served our country?
Well, that's a great question. And really what we need to do is streamline the process and promote free market principles when it comes to this. I've seen it personally myself. I've dealt with the VA and I've dealt with the military in transitioning. In the last election in 2018, I went to the Tucson VA and I sat in on a meeting there. And Tucson VA is actually a pretty good VA. And they were talking about the $15 million that they got to do cancer research, and which is very good. And, you know, these are things that need to be addressed for veterans. But I got up and I asked the question. I said, okay, cancer has been around for a while. We've been doing a lot of research in the private sector. And what crosstalk are you doing with the private sector to go ahead and tackle these issues like cancer and veterans and everything? And the answer was zero. There's zero crosstalk going on. And to me, that's we can't have that. We have to be putting all our resources together, and we have to be putting forth the best product for those that put their lives on the line and to serve this country and fought to keep it free. So we really need to streamline all these processes, and we need to look at making sure that the resources are available for our veterans when they need them.
Well, continuing in the area of defense, do you agree with the Trump doctrine that we provide defense for our allies with equal participation as a percentage of each of our allies' GDP?
I do believe that the president has hit this one on the head. It's time that other countries step up, and there's nothing wrong in asking for that. I mean, America has been leading the world, and other countries have been taking advantage of us. They have been not fulfilling their commitments and putting forward the money that they're supposed to. So President Trump is absolutely right to hold these countries accountable and demand that they pay their fair share.
You served in Afghanistan bravely as a soldier in our armed forces. I realize this is maybe a little bit more of a personal thing for you. Was Afghanistan the right place to be and be there for now almost 20 years?
Well, that's
a hard question,
whenever,
isn't it?
It is, because you have multiple components to this. As a soldier, sailor, marine, airman, whatever, when your country calls you up, you're there.
Yep.
And when your country needs you, it's not political.
Yep.
It's not a political game. Lives are at risk, and you go there, you do your job, you protect the person next to you, and you hopefully bring as many people back home as possible. So I hate when that is used as a political issue. But, you know, you can always look back and say hindsight and 2020 and what should we have done differently. But we have people serving in Afghanistan that don't remember why it is that we went there.
They weren't born when we went there, for quite out loud.
We need to stop policing the world. We are not the world's police, and we need to get our troops out of that conflict. It's been going on way too long. Osama bin Laden has been dead. And looking back at it, we need to take an approach and say, what is the objective here? Because we created a war and a situation for ourselves over there that we did not need to be in. And when you look at the history of the United States, and this is, you know, Bruce, you talked a minute ago about history and learning from history. When the Russians invaded Afghanistan, and we were a part of that in the Mujahideen, and when you look at that, how could you get involved in the same type of war where you saw the Russians defeated? I mean, we have to learn from history. We have to put our best foot forward, and we're creating conflict where we don't need to. So we need to end that conflict. We need to bring our men and women home and protect our country here at home.
So peace through strength has been a hallmark of American defense policy for years. There's lots of talk about a 355-ship Navy, also building out our Space Force quickly and being in a position, if required, to fight on a level playing field in space with an aggressor nation, whether it be with, you know, killer satellites and other cyber warfare. What's your position with respect to America's strength being enhanced?
Absolutely. Peace through strength. Ronald Reagan, President Trump were very, very strong in putting forward a message of a strong America. And as far as the Navy goes, you know, as well as I do, constitutionally, the Navy is our primary defense. And we vote for a budget and to fund an army, but I want to see a strong Navy. I want to see a strong military. And Congress mandating a 355-ship Navy and all the things that go into that, however you count the ships and are they combat ships and everything that goes into that is being thrown up right now and being discussed. But we need to make sure we have the best fighting force capable to protect America. And that does go into the Space Force and that does go into cyber warfare. And cyber is the next battlefield. It's the next battlefield. When a country like China or Russia could shut down your electrical grids or immediately wreak havoc on your healthcare systems because you don't have power, whatever it is, cyber warfare is the next battlefield, and we have to prepare for that. We cannot wait for other countries to outpace us. We have to be the pace setter in this. We have to make sure that America is protected. I mean, that is one of the fundamental charges to provide for a common defense. That is what the government is there for. It's the stated purpose of government to protect life, liberty, and property, and that is what we need to do.
Brandon, who, in your opinion, you're a military guy, you've been in this area for years and years. Who's the number one great Satan in the world today?
That is a good question. I mean, you know, China right now and the way the Chinese Communist Party is acting, and I want to make a distinction there. It's not the Chinese people. It's the Chinese Communist Party. You know, we have a battlefront in the Pacific. You have a battlefront in the Atlantic and Russia and what they're doing and their submarines. But I would say one of the greatest threats that we face is the enemy from within. America is strong and capable of anything when we're together. But the progressive movement, those people who are destroying America from within, you know, we have to really look at that and say, look, there are people out there who are anti-American that are trying to bring America down. But we have multiple fronts, and so we just need to address America. We need to be strong and be ready.
Yeah, great answer. This is the last question I have for you today. With early voting starting now, what's the number one reason? Don't give me number two or number three. What's the number one reason Brandon Martin ought to be the Republican nominee in the 2nd Congressional District here in Arizona?
I've been fighting for America all my life. All my life I've been fighting for America, and right now America needs fighters. That's why America loves President Trump. He's a fighter. People know that he is with them, that he stands with them. Right now we're under attack. You just asked me the question about who's the great Satan of the world. Right now we are facing external and internal threats, and we need fighters. We need people who are going to go stand with our flag, stand with our country, stand with our president and with the American people. And that's what I've been doing my whole life, and I would be honored to continue that fight for the American people and the people of Southern Arizona.
Well, that's a great answer, Brandon. Thanks very much. We're up against the clock, and we need to leave it there for now. Best of luck to you in the upcoming weeks, and Thanks for appearing here on Inside Track.